Okay, so we are on page 409, okay? We're on page 409. We are in the paragraph on the left side, Bi'uri Hagra, on the left side, Vayhi Sar Gadol Bayam. Okay, again, 409, Bi'uri Hagra, on the left side, Vayhi Sar Gadol Bayam, Shenikra Sar Gadol. Why is it called a Sar Gadol? Shesoyer Esayam Ho'ilam Hazeh. Because it stirs up, the Yom stirs up Ho'ilam Hazeh. The Khan Bilashon Zohar Shemitchila Boy. What? Shesoyer es Shesoyer es Hayom Sahar Godol Shesoyer es Hayom Ho'olam Hazeh. The Yom, doesn't it mean that the Yom stirs up this world? No? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I told you yesterday. What? The shesoyer es hayom.
It's a windstorm,
right? Yeah.
It's a whirlwind,
and it stirs up the sea.
Okay, but the Gra is talking in metaphors.
Okay. So it's the ship. So the ship gets tossed around, right?
Okay.
What they call the vicissitudes of life. Right?
Okay. Okay, let's read further. Let's read further. Okay, we have to remember everything in the Gra is working with the mashal that Yonah is the neshama, and Yonah is coming into this world, and this world is the guf. Is olam hazeh is the yam. The yam is olam hazeh. It's only a temporary abode. A man cannot live permanently in the yam. He must eventually make his way to dry land. Yonah going into the yam is symbolic of the neshama coming temporarily into olam hazeh. And olam hazeh, there are storms. There are trials and tribulations. There are difficulties. So now he writes over here, V'kan shesoyes hayom ha'olam hazeh. I'm not sure how to translate those words. The words of the Gra are very hard. They're really very hard to translate. The words of the Ibn Ezra are very hard to translate. The words of the Abarbanel are very hard, okay? There are certain mefarshim that are really, really difficult. It's really very difficult reading, at least for me. You have to break your teeth and get through even one word. So the other mefarshim, they lend themselves to be a little bit easier, okay? We learn the ones that are easier, but the Gra over here is such an important mashal, it's worthy to see at least a little bit what he says. So here he writes over here is that v'kan b'lashon zohar shemetchila bohi el aguf umachlo oisai bachaloim roim. He writes here. We're just going to run through very quickly. The neshama comes into the guf, and the guf, unfortunately, in this world suffers illnesses. She nikra ra'o choyla kamo shenemar b'koheles v'achar kach balitol haneshama al yodo. It attempts to take the neshama, I guess to contaminate the neshama. K'mo shebetchila shekol hapituyim oisa al yada kein basoif k'mo shekasa bazoyar l'chin amr b'pirkei Rabbi Eliezer b'medrash shekol haruach v'asar lohoye elo al oisoi srafina shekol hasinus holchem b'sholem ayin sham. I really don't know what this means. Let's leave it with that. Let's go to the next page. Turn to the page 410. V'hoaniya, 410. Chishva lihi shaver. Okay. The boat appeared, we'll learn it very simply, appeared to be broken apart. V'haguf choyshev, sh'al korcho yishover ata k'mo shekasa bazoyar. When the neshama comes into the guf, and there is a conflict between the spiritual yearnings of the soul versus the material desires of the guf, there is friction between these two, and it would appear that these two entities living together in this world is an impossibility. That's what would appear. When the guf begins to realize that its days in this world are limited, there's mortality, And who is the one that's telling the guf? Who is giving this message to the guf that you're not going to be around forever? It's the neshama. The neshama is giving this message. Now here he goes into Kabbalah, which I'm very, very frightened of. Begilgul, Kumay Shanemar, Pamayim, Shalosh, Im Gover, Vechulu. This is the pasuk which Chazal tell us to mean that a person can come down to this world three times. He got three chances. And the fourth time, V'arboha lo ashivenu. Hashem will recycle his neshama in this world up to three times in order for it to achieve its mission. But the fourth time, Hashem does not give a neshama a fourth chance. At that point in time, it's finished. It goes where it goes to wherever it's supposed to go, whatever it accomplished. Who knows what that means? The neshama gets a second chance, a third chance. But the guf gets only one chance. Whatever the guf does in this world, it does. After the person, the neshama, leaves the guf, that particular guf is done. It's finished. We know when it comes to laws of Tumah v'Tahara, if a klicheres becomes contaminated, how do you remove the Tumah? Impossible. The only way to remove the Tumah is to shatter the klicheres. A human being is made from earth and water, which basically means it's no different than a klicheres. The Amru Kevon Shanishbar Shuv in Latakana Umduik Loshan Chishava Sha'ina Shaykh Allah Svina Mamish. Okay, so he's saying over here that the Svina is the gulf, the Svina is the boat. Whatever this means. Okay, next pasuk in the Gra, very quickly. Vayir Vayiru Hamalachim. The Malachim were terrified. The sailors, Haim Hamahnigim Haguf, Haim Hamoyach Vahalev Vishar Hakoichais. According to the metaphor of the Gra, who are the sailors of the body? It's all of a person's facilities. Meaning his mind, his heart, all of his koichos. Vayizaku ish el elohav, shetzaku panu el kesef uzahav, sha'avdu oisam kol yimeim sheheniku elohi chesef elohizav. A person puts his confidence in his money. As long as there's money in the bank, I am okay. Kuma yashu'amar hamagid. That day when a person dies, he comes to recognize all of the money in the bank does for him absolutely nothing. He cannot take the money with him. Kaspa machutzos yashlichu. When the Churban came about, people took all of their assets, they threw it into the street, recognizing money will not get you anything in the end of days. Kilo yoyel hoin b'yoyim avda, the day of destruction, money is not going to save a person. Chinkasa b'abaitchem al chelam per vayetilu es hakelam asher b'ani al hayam yesh lefarish kipshuta shezorek me'al haguf ha'begodim v'noifel al hamita. So he says here that what does this mean? What is the mashal? A person, when he dies, he takes off his clothing and he lies down to die. L'hakel me'alayem me'al hoivarim shebegodav kivedim olav ha'maniach hafilu begodav olam hazeh. A person does not even take his clothing with him into the next world. They give the money to tzedakah. If he leaves over his money in this world to tzedakah, that will be a zuchus for him in the next world. Haneshama el haraglayim kmo shekasev al vategal margolisa vayishka vaye rodam sheshoichev alamita v'sardeim nefel v'lof kiyadua k'biyam amisa. Death is called sleep. V'chenu oimer vayi Hashem eshlavo v'sardeim nefla. We find by Avraham Avinu, he went into a deep sleep. Shehu shekiyah sachama v'or haneshama. Okay, kmo she'amru ad asheloi. Okay, let's stop over here with this. Okay, so pretty much it's really way out stuff, but at least in the beginning, when we started off the perek, we got at least a little good flavor. We had some, I think it was more satisfying, but here he's really, the growth's going way off the deep end. So I think we'll call it quits. Okay, so let's go. Let's take a look at something more down to earth. Okay, down to earth. Let's take a look at the Chida. even if the chidah is not, would be very insulted if I said that, that he's down to earth, because the chidah was a mukubal. But relative to the gra, I think it's a little bit more straightforward. So the chidah is pasik. We have chidah pasik hey, I believe, right? Do we have a chidah? Maybe more. The chidah anymore? No, we did all the chidahs already. Okay, we're done. I thought it was on pasik hey. There's not. It goes to pasik vav. So we're done with the chidah. So let's now go further. Let's go to the next pasik vav. Okay, on page 412. Vayikrav elav rav hachoyvel. Yonah has descended to the Yarkisei Hasafina, to the bottom of the ship. He lies down. He goes to sleep. He's in a deep, deep sleep. And suddenly he is awakened by who? The captain. This is your captain speaking. Fasten your seatbelts. We are in jeopardy. Okay. Turbulence. We are experiencing turbulence. Everyone, fasten your seatbelts. No one is allowed to close your tray and raise your seat. Yonah, what are you doing? Lying down flat. We are. You have to raise your seat and fasten your seatbelt. Vayikrav elav Rav Hachoyvel. The captain. Why is he called the Rav HaChoyvel? He's the one who was in charge of pulling the ropes. The ropes, they represent the sails. The sails, they would pull ropes to direct the sails in different directions in order to work with the wind to direct and steer the boat in a given direction. Vayomer loy, ma l'cho nirdom? Why are you sleeping? Kum. Kira, get up and be like everyone else and pray. Pray to your God. Kum, get up. Kira, call out. El Elokecha, because this is Hashem. Obviously, they must have known his religion. He's Jewish. Ulai, perhaps, Yis Ases. Okay, means Asay. Maybe he will do. Yis Ases in the Mitzudas. David means to make a decision. Yimolech will change his mind. It's a very hard word. This is not an easy word. What is the shoresh of the word yis a sheis? You would assume asay, right? You would assume that the ayin and the sin is asay leman shimcha. Do something, Hashem. Hashem, perform. Perform an action. Take us out of this tzara. But it's not really what he says over here in the Mefarshim. If you look over here again, in the Mitzudos Tzion, he says Yis Ashes Inyan Machashava Kimo Avdu Eshto Nosaf. His thoughts, his plans are lost. Okay, in the Mitzudos David, we'll just run very quickly. In the Mitzudos David, he writes Ula Yis Alidei Ula Yis Ashes. Yis a sheis ali hatefila ulai yachshoiv hu elokim lanu shaloi noived. Now you would question this interpretation is because it's not enough for Hashem to have a good thought. Good intentions do not count in a time of sakana. Action is what counts. Hashem could think all the nice things about us, but if he lets the ship go down and sink, we're all dead. It's not going to make a difference. All of your good thoughts and your nice thoughts about us. So obviously, there's something over here that's very, very deep, and that is, this is something which is discussed, is that by a thought by Hashem immediately translates into action, into meisim, something which is beyond our comprehension. We live in a world where there's a very great difference between machshava and meisim. We can think all we want. Our thoughts have absolutely no consequence unless we put our thoughts into action. And there's a discussion. Does a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a person has good intent, but he does not succeed in carrying out his good intent, does he get reward? So the answer is yes. When it comes to a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards a person for his good thoughts. Machashava toiva mitztarfu lemaisa. When it comes to an avera, by Klal Yisrael, if you plan to do an Avera, but you do not actually do the Avera, a person is not punished for his thoughts. By non-Jews, Hashem does hold them accountable for their machashavas. But by Hashem, this this principle, this concept of separating thought from deed does not exist. By Hashem, a thought instantly translates into a deed. Therefore, well, okay, it's a good tough question. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. To reconsider. Okay. So that's the big question over here. Over here, we have a very unusual expression. Ulai yis'a sheis. We really need to know the precise translation of this word, and we will see soon, momentarily, that there are many translations for this word. But the Mitsudo Stavit, who we always begin with, we always start with him, he takes a position, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, that it means, avdu eshto nosav, a person, there in the context of that pasuk, it means a person's plans. A person can plan, and for life, and then Hashem has different plans. All of your plans are batul umevutul. Avdu, his plans are lost. So he understands that the word yis'ashes that is presented here in this pasuk means the same thing. And then the pasuk means ulai, hopefully. Okay, there are two words. Let's clarify this point. There are two words for maybe in Hebrew. In English, there's only one word, maybe. In Hebrew, there are lashon kodesh, there are two words, ulai and pen. Efsher, is that a Hebrew word?
No. Maybe.
Efsher.
Sure.
Okay, could be. Maybe I don't know. We have to. I don't know. You're right. We have to. What is the word efsher? Maybe I don't know. Is that Hebrew? Is that Aramaic? I don't know. So it's a good point. It's a good. We have to think.
Well, yeah,
but many times Chazal. Whenever you say the word ulai, the connotation is I am hoping that it should be. It's 50-50. But I'm optimistic. I'm yearning, I'm striving that the result should be the 50% that is positive. Whenever it says in the Tanakh pen, then it means we're assuming or we are preparing for the 50% of failure, of being no good. Pessimistic. Eager.
Eager means you want it.
You want it, very good. Excellent. That's correct.
No.
That's right. That's right. Anxious means you don't want it to happen. Right, right. Eager means you want it. Same exactly. Very good. Ulai is eager and pen is anxious.
By Eliezer, he said...
Ulai yov lo yov o yisho. That's why Chazal, Darshan, Ulai... Eli, it's missing a vav.
The Gemara uses the term Ulai Husheni Ovi. That's the
possibility. I want Yaakov Avinu wanted to be discovered because he cannot deal with lying. Titan Emes Liyakov. This was a horror for Yaakov Avinu to make believe he's Esav and fool his father. Ulai. Halavai Yimusheni Avi.
He didn't want to do it. Rivka
forced him. But he was torture. Halavai, my father should discover that I'm really Yaakov, and it will be exposed. And that way, I won't live with the guilt my whole life of being a deceiver. How am I going to live with this my whole life? If I succeed in this mission, my whole life, I'm going to look back and I'm going to say I'm a shakran. My whole midah is titen emes li Yaakov, not sheker. Ulai. Okay, and where else? If Ulai Eliezer said, Ulai lo soveh yisho. She's not going to want to come back. What do you mean, Ulai pen? If you have a good shidduch for Yitzchak, you want that the shidduch should go through. No, Eliezer was no geah badavar. He had his own daughter. He had a daughter on the market, and he wanted Yitzchak for his own daughter. He would be thrilled if no one else would want to marry Yitzchak. That way, he would be able to convince Avraham, you got no choice. You got to take me for your as a mechudin. I'm going to be your mechudin. You're going to give my daughter Ulai. So here, we have this. Here it fits perfectly because Ulai yis'ashes hu elokim lanu v'loi noved. Ulai Hashem will think about us. Hashem will reflect about us. That our situation, he will consider us, and we will not be destroyed. We want this to be. So Yonah, get up out of this pit and get to work. Start davening. Pasuk Zayin, one more pasuk. Vayomu ish el re'ehu luchu. Then they all daven. Now, obviously, we're now jumping ahead in time. This did not work. So they said one to another, luchu, let's go cast lots. V'napilo goyrolois let us cast lots, v'neida'ah, and we will discover, b'shalini hora'ah hazois, who is the cause of this evil decree, hal hazois lanu, v'yapilu gorolois, v'yipol hagorol al yoina. Okay, that, now you have an appreciation of why we lay this on Yom HaKippurim, Mincha. There are many reasons, but among the 100 reasons is because the Gorolois and the Sor LaHashem, Sor LaZazil, there were two Seirim, and the two Seidim, it was determined their faith through a Gorol. And here, right in the beginning of Sefer Yoina, we learn about another Gorol. Okay, the Gorol of Yom HaKippurim, the Gorol of Purim, and the Gorol of Yona. Okay, there's many more Gorolos. What are the more Gorolos? Eretz Yisrael, the whole land. Ach, al pi ha-gorol, techolek ha-aretz. Eretz Yisrael was divided by a Gorol. And what else? Another very significant Gorol. Eretz Yisrael came to an end through a Gorol. What was the end of Eretz Yisrael? The Asara Haruge Malchus. Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon were the first two of the Asara Haruge Malchus. When were they killed? They were killed shortly before Tisha B'Av. They were killed like a month before Tisha B'Av. And one was the Melech, the Nasi. Rabbi Shimon was the acting Melech. The Nasi, in the time of the Bayis Sheni, was the acting Melech. And the Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Gadol. And the Vuzardon, who was the Vuzardon, the Kesar. The Kesar said, who am I going to kill first? I don't know. Who wants to go first? And each one said, I want to go first. I don't want to see the other one die in front of my eyes. Each one said they want to go first, and he could not decide, so he cast lots. And who did the lot fall upon? Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. He was first. So that was the Aschalta, the beginning of the Churban. I mean, the Churban began with Asar B'Teves. I take it back. That's the Bayis Rishon. That was the Bayis Rishon. Sorry. Let's go to Bayis Sheni. There are many different tekufas of when you want to call the beginning of the Churban. You can call the siege of Shavasa B'Tamas, when they broke through the walls. Okay, you could say 3 weeks ago. You could say there are many different breakpoints in the leading up to the Churban of the Bayis Sheni. But the end really began with the execution, the murder of the Kohen Gadol and the Melech. The Nasi, Rabbi Shimon, was called the Nasi. He wasn't anointed with the Shemra Mishcha, we're dealing with the Bayis Sheni, but he served in the place of the Melech. And when they were executed, they were killed, the Jewish leadership came to an end, technically, I think, a month before. I think they have exact dates, exactly a month before the Tisha B'Av is when they were killed. They were those two, and the other ones were killed over a 90-year period of time, either 50 years, 90 years. Some say it was over a 90-year period of time until the last of the Asara Haruge Malchus were killed, but it began with them, and their death was through a Goyrol. So we have over here many, many fascinating Goyrolas. I remember there was. I told you once the girl. They say about of Aaron Kotler is a Baba Maisa. Okay, they say that Aaron Kotler he had a shot. He come to America to Eretz Yisrael in the war, and he cast a girl, and it says Vayelech Aaron El Moshe Vayelech Moshe Vayelech.
I think it's a key point.
Efka. It says your pasuk which seems to indicate that he should go to the desert to Moshe
and it was.
Rav Moshe Feinstein, I don't remember the exact pasuk, and they asked the family of Aaron Kotler. They said it's a Baba Maisa Lohayu Dvarim Me'olam. The story is 100% false. There is though a story that is true, which is very very similar. I don't know the exact pasuk and the exact situation. That is Rav Steinman. Rav Steinman, he had a big dilemma. He was a citizen of Brisk. Okay, Brisk was a very big city. Brisk was a very complex city. There were 20,000 Jews who lived in Brisk, somewhere in the Ukraine, I believe it is.
Belarus and Poland.
Belarus, somewhere in between Russia and Poland. Okay, was Brisk, and Brisk, the Nazis, probably from all of the communities that were obliterated off the map by the Nazis, possibly brisk was done in the most coordinated and sophisticated way. Germans with their precision.
Very well organized.
They're organized in the precision. It didn't always go so well. Okay, if all of their wickedness and their precision, it didn't always work out the way they thought it would. Like, especially the classic cases, as Rav Meir told me all the details about Warsaw. Warsaw did not go according to plan. That's only one situation. There were many, many, many more. Didn't work out. It didn't work out the way they thought it would. But Brisk was a horror. I read about this. Read about how they were so well coordinated, how they marched them and they shot them, what they did to them. It's just a horror. It's not to be believed. From 20,000 people, how many people survived? 20. I didn't even know their names. Only 20 people out of 20,000 survived, and one of them was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, not Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik's father, his cousin. He was his whole life in Switzerland. His name was a cousin, and he was the best friend with Rav Steinman, who was nifter 2 years ago. Gesundheit. And Rav Steinman, he left there because of due to circumstance. I don't remember the old details. And then they made a go. They had a whole dilemma if she should go somewhere, not go somewhere. And he took a girl, and the girl indicated that he should go to Switzerland, I think, to be with Moshe, his cousin, with his friend Moshe Soloveitchik, and that saved his life. And if not for that, who knows what would have been. So there is indeed a story, a true story, that has been documented, it's a true story, and that involves a girl. But not every girl story is accurate. But here we have the sugya of a girlois, vayipol ha-girl al yoyna, and yoyna was the one upon whom the girl has fallen, which indicates that he is the source of the trouble. Let's not take a look over here at the Mufarshim, these two psukim together, pasik, Vav and Zayin, first in the Mitzvah Sadid, Ma, on the very bottom, Ma Lecha Nirdam. Yona, why are you sleeping? Ma Lecha Shen Nirdamta Ko'imer, he means to say, V'chi'encha Margish, She'onu Imdim B'Sakana. Don't you appreciate that we're in Sakana? How dare you? How dare you not be Mishtatef in the Tsar of your fellow sailors? The Mitsudois Lishitasoi translates this unusual word. It means Al Ide Hatafil Ulai Yachshoiv. Hashem will consider us. Now take note that here we have a new word for thought. In the previous Pasuk, back on Pasuk Gimel, the previous page 410, Vihu Aniyah. Chishva lehishaver, and we had all the different translations of what it means chishva, but you can't deny the fact that chishva comes from the thought, the concept of a thought, a machshava. And here we have another word for thought called eshtonos, a person's thoughts. Ulai, maybe Hashem will have yis a sheis hu elokim. There are so many play on words in these psukim; it's unreal. We have the Ania versus the Sfina. Okay, these two words. There is the Sa'ar versus the Ruach. Okay, we have the Malachim versus the Rav HaChovel. Okay, the Malachim are those who steer the oars, and we have here Vayikra Lav Rav HaChovel, the one who's in charge of the ropes. Ropes seemingly mean the sails. There are two ways to steer a boat. You can steer the boat through oars, or you can steer the boat through the sails. So why is it the Rav HaChovel is coming to Yonah and not the Malachim, the Rav HaMalachim coming to Yonah?
So there are two different people.
Two different organizations on the boat.
One could be the captain, the number one. The other could be, I don't know what they
the chief first, officer, whatever, the first officer.
Mate or something like that.
There are different functions, there are different roles that they have on the ship.
The person in charge of the sales come down below. You should be
up all the way on top. Why didn't the person, the Rav HaMalachim, come to Yonah and say, Yonah, what are you doing sleeping over here? So there's a lot of things. The more you pay attention to the psukim, you notice how we jumping back and forth between different words. At face value, it's the same thing, but when you look very carefully, it's not. We have the Malachim versus the Rava, the Chayvel. We have the Ania versus the Sfina. Mm-hmm. We have here another example of the Chishiva versus a new word, which according at least the Mitzudois is the same thing. It means Yis'ashes. Maybe Hashem will think about us. Hashem will have a machshava. You know, maybe these people don't deserve to die. Maybe I should step in and do something about it. Let's go further. Pasuk Zayin Vayamu Anshei Hasfina Goyrolois. Now, who's the one that made this decision? It was not the captain. The idea to cast lots appears to have come from the passengers. Okay, it says here the Anshei Hasfina. It doesn't say that the sailors or the people the people who would steer the boat, the Malachim. It says the Anshei Hasfina, they decided Goyrolois Amru Lahapil Goyrolois Harbe. Now it says Beloshon Rabim. They did this many times. Why? They did not want to rely upon one lottery because maybe it's just chance. It has no significance. Ki pen b'mikre nofal al zeh. That's no meaning. Al kishiyap yipol pavim rubois al echad yanire she'ein zeh mikre. That's an indication that it's the real deal, and that is a very important yisoy when it comes to gorolos. Okay, and we know that when it comes to Purim. It says also it's called Hipil Pur, Hipil, there's a Pur Hu Ha Gorol. So it says what Gorol wants, but it says Pur. And then it says later in the Pasuk, Miyoyim Liyoyim Ume Chodesh L'Chodesh. There were two. He made a Gorol by for the day, and he made a Gorol for the Chodesh. And if it worked out, if you just put your hand into a pot and it comes out a number, big deal. You can't go say there's anything significant. But if you do two goyrolos, and each goyrol complements the other, that is an indication that this is for real. Just quick, what did the Mepharshim say he did in Purim? In Purim, he took, let's make for argument's sake, there are 365 days in a year. So he took 365 pieces of paper, and he wrote down the number 1 through 365. And then he took another 12 pieces of paper and he wrote 1 through 12. And he put 1 through 12 in one pot and the numbers of 1 through 365 in another pot. He picked up a number and then he picked up the number of 1 through 12 and then he put his hand into the other pot. He picked up number 1 through 365. If the number in the number of between 1 and 365 fits into the month of the 1 through 12, that means it's a real, that's a sign. If you pick up number 3, because you pick up 364, and you pick up number 2, impossible, because the second month of the year only takes you to 60. And here I picked up number 364. It doesn't make any sense. But if I pick up number 48, and I pick up number 2, the second month of the year, and this is 48. Oh, that goes to show that there's something divine about this goyrol. It's significant.
Well, who is the person to decide to tell Hashem, I'm going to pick a goyrol and from this? You know,
excellent question. So you're asking a really, really good question. Who are you doing? So like, we even know today that when it comes to a goyrol, no one today can go make a goyrol hagurah. Or you just flip the page, right? You have a special chumash. There's two columns, a whole Tanakh, and you flip the Chumash, you wish. And then whatever pasuk comes out, it's going to tell you a divine message. It's total nonsense. All the good Eliezer will say, to do make a girl, you have to be on a very high spiritual level, you have to fast. First thing is you have to fast. The day that you make the girl, you have to be fast. That's a given. You have to be fasting. Not only that, you have to prepare in advance, do teshuvah. It's a very difficult, painful process of preparing yourself spiritually to be roi, that when you make the goyrol, you could assume that Hashem is speaking to you in a significant way. That's why there were many situations where people, they have the stories about people who were asked, there were situations in the war or situations just in general where there was a very great need, no one knew what to do, and they wanted to make a girl, and they went to Gedolei Yisrael to make the girl, and sometimes they said, I would do it, but I can't fast. I don't have the koyach. I'm just not well enough at this point in my life to fast. And if you don't, we have a tradition that if you don't fast, it's not going to work. It has no meaning. So you're asking an excellent question. Who are you to make a girl? Who are these people over here to make a girl that they should say that it has meaning? I don't know. I really don't know. Here it says, at least to lighten the question, at least a little bit, it says here in the Mitzudos, that's why it says, B'loshon Rabim, Goy Rolois, they cast multiple lots, and if there's a pattern that goes to show, the Yad Hashem is present, and there's something going on.
These must have been special people.
Yeah.
So the question over here is, it says originally, the most Mepharshim, they were all idolaters. It says they called out Vayizaku. It says in the pasuk we learned yesterday, they cried out to their gods. Vayizaku ish el Elohov. Okay, so that means they're idolaters. So what does it mean over here? They all of a sudden became religious?
No. Yonah is the one who's special. That's who.
But Yonah is not the one casting lots.
Nevertheless, for Hashem to intervene, it had to be
undefined. So that's an incredible chiddush that Hashem is going to play along with them. Hashem is going to allow
his hashkocha
into the actions of these idolaters. That's a very powerful concept. A goy is making a goyrol, and the goy's goyrol is correct. Haman did it. I mean, Haman did it, right? You have a precedent for that. All right, it's something which is not so simple. I don't know. I really don't know. Let's maybe we'll learn more. We'll see more ideas. So here he says, he made multiple girls, goes, So what happened? B'shalami? The question was, who is the cause of this storm? B'avur mi bo oleinu ro'as ha-sakona ha-zois ha-goyrol, Ritzon Lomar kol goyrol v'goyrol. It says in Loshon Yochid, he's taking note that it says here by Yapilu Goyrolois, but then the end of the pasuk switches to Loshon Yochid, Vayipol Ha Goyrol. Shouldn't the pasuk say Vayipol Ha Goyrolois Al Yoyna? What's the change? The answer he gives is, it means each one. It's the collective noun.
Right.
The collective noun, each one. Okay, let's take a look over here, Rashi.
The last one.
He doesn't say that. He says, "Kol goyrol v'goyrol." Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk vav. Rav hachoyvel. So look at this shocking thing he writes. Rav hamalochim. Tremendous chiddush. Sar hamalochim. Sha'af hem nikroim choyvle hayam. Okay, so that's a tremendous chiddush, right? Because as I told you, there are different functions on the ship. The word malochim is used to refer to the oars. And the reason why the malachim, because the word malach means to mix. It means mimulach. It says regarding the Keteris, mimulach tahar kodesh. There are two translations. Some mefarshim translate the word mimulach that it was salted. You have to add salt into the Keteris. Al kol karboncha takriv melach, even the Keteris. So when it says mimulach tahar kodesh, salted. You put salt on the Keteres. Shocking, right? Who says, who ever heard such a thing? They're the Yud Gimel, they're obviously the 11 Samamonim. Who says he put salt? Okay. The other commentators say, no, it means thoroughly mixed. Thoroughly mixed. Mimulach, take all of the ingredients of the Keteres and thoroughly mix it.
Stirred well.
And it should be tar, and it should be kodesh. Now, if that is the correct translation, which I think is the more common translation, now come back to the word malach. What's a malach? A person who rows the boat. How do you row a boat? Oars. When you take the oars and you row it to an observer, it looks like you're mixing the water. It's a batter. You have a batter of water and of ingredients, and you're mixing. That is what it looks like. That's why a malach, a person who stirs whatever it's called, who moves the oars, is called a malach. What's the chevel? The chevel, I just explained, is the people in charge of the sails. On a ship, there are these massive pieces of cloth which are raised very, very high, and they're used against the wind to steer the boat. There are two different ways to steer the boat. Each one has a very different role. The sails are controlled by ropes, the Rav HaChoyvel. Until not so long ago, even on airplanes, when the captain in the ship would turn the steering wheel, whatever they call it, the yoke, it was metal cables. It's like very, very, very simplistic. You think it's such a big the rudder, all of the different instruments that you use to guide even a massive plane, a large jet, were all through basically cables. They were all cables. No more. Today it's all electronic. Today it's all computerized, electronic. And when they're steering, they're turning, it's powered steering, not just powered steering like in your car, it's like just a computer, the whole thing is run by a computer, more or less. But it's basically cables. A cable is a chevel. And you look at some of these videos of the planes, how they work, it's like so super simple. It's so like simplistic. They make it look very complicated. You have all these million instruments in the cockpit. But really, all that stuff is just fluff. The only thing that really is, you turn on the engine, and the engine's thrust, and you have the rudder, and the flaps, and that's all it really is. Everything else is just bells and whistles, just today, no more. Today, everything became computerized.
So two adjustments for speed and altitude?
What?
Does the pilot have to adjust?
Yeah, it's two things. It's how much power you put in the engine, And the rudders, the back of the plane, the back of the plane. That's all it is. Is there are rudders, and does it go this way, that way? And that's controlled. When you turn the yoke, it just there's a metal cable which runs the entire length of the plane, and it just causes this little piece of metal in the back of the plane to go like this or to go like this. And the wind, as it flies 500 miles an hour, a small little conflict or resistance when the rudder is like this will cause the plane to turn it in the whole different direction. That's all it is. And the flaps for drag. Okay, so it's just very simplistic. It's just a matter, and Adrabah, they prefer it that way because that way the electronic system shuts down, you finished. But if it's on cables, so you got the cables. You can pull the cables. Either way, you can always control the thing. So it's the chevel. Nothing has changed. In the 21st century, it's the same exact thing. It's the chevel. It's just a bunch of ropes controlling the rudder, not the rudder, which is really the sail, is the equivalent of the sail of a ship. And they're very different. They're very different functions. And yet Rashi over here is telling us an incredible chiddush. And when it says here the Rav HaChoyvel, it's saying he's called the Tsar, the Tsar. The Tsar of the one who rows the boat, who controls the oars, ha-malachim, sha'af heim nikra'im choyvlei hayam. They're also called the choyvlei hayam. Now look at the Mitzvot Tzion. We don't read that. The Rav HaChoyvel, he says, sar manhige ha-safina, ki Rav hu sar, v'chein v'rabi melech, u'manhige ha-safina yikaru choyvlim, al ki moishchim, they pull b'chavlei Haviloin, the curtain, okay, the sail, lahafnoisa, to move it, mul haruach, opposite the wind, to steer the boat. V'chein hemo choivloich, they are the people who
pull the ropes.
So Rashi here is very, very, very.
I don't know, I think you're reading into Rashi about the oars, that they're oarsmen. I think he means sailors too.
Right.
I for some reason it's etched in my mind. The word malachim means the people who turn the oars, and the people who have oars are not people who control the sails. They're very different.
Doesn't that come into play later?
Okay, we'll see. Okay, Rashi, let's keep in mind this chiddush from Rashi. Ma lecha nirdam. Okay, this question you can say every day to yourself. Why are you sleeping? Wake up. Uru Yeshenim Mishinaschem, the Rambam says on Rosh Hashanah we blow the shofar. Why? Why do you blow the Rosh Shofar? Wake up. It's very appropriate for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur Ne'ilah. You have to remember, we learned this Yom Kippur Ne'ilah. Yom Kippur Ne'ilah, Mincha time, everyone is falling fast asleep. Okay, it's hard to stay up, you know. No coffee. Ma Lecha Nirdam. The Baal Kriya, he calls out to the Tzibur, wake up. Wake up. The day is almost over. Do teshuva before it's too late. It's very, very appropriate thing to lane. Very powerful words.
I think we should lane it every single day.
Ma'al lecha nirdam. What are you sleeping? Wake up. Ma'al lecha lios nirdam. Ein ata es redem. Okay, isn't a nice word, redem? Yeah, we have such a use of the word redem. Now is not a time to sleep. Now is not the time. There's a time in life to sleep and a time not to. Esakol osa yofe be'itai. Now is not the time to sleep. What happened by Matan Torah? They were all sleeping. Moshe had to come wake them up. They had good reason to sleep. What was the good reason they thought? Nevuah. What is it? They all knew the Rambam. Everyone knew the Rambam. They were all briskus. They all knew the Rambam. What's in the Rambam? A Navi, when does he receive his Nevuah? In sleep. So if Moshe said Hashem is going to come and everyone's going to be a prophet tomorrow, everyone's going to receive the Torah, Hashem's going to appear, so we're all going to be prophets. Kol am, so how do you receive prophecy? Through sleep. So let's go to sleep to be Makabal the Torah. That was their mistake. The Kabbalah, all you see over here. The Nevuah did not come through sleep. The Nevuah of Matan Torah came when we were awake. Okay, when is the only time in Shulchan Aruch you're supposed to stay up the entire night? We always discuss, there's only one day a year where it says in Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to remain awake the entire night. Only one doesn't say by Shavuos. Shavuos is a minog. When? No. Pesach night. Lel Pesach. Lel Pesach is halacha. Lel Pesach, you are required to stay up and to learn to be doyresh. Bin Yonai Shalyoim, like the story with Rabbi Akiva and Veloz Ben Azariah and all the other Chachamim and Musimba Bnei Brak, Vahayu Mesabrim, B'Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kol Oysay Halayla, At Shabot Talmidehem B'Amru Lohem, Higiyaz Man Kriyash Mashal Shachris. Okay, there's a debate if that story took place Lel Pesach or not, but one thing is for sure, in Shulchan Aruch and in the Rambam, it says that you're supposed to stay up the entire night when the Seder is over and learn about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Sibur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Do you know anyone that does this? There's some Hasidic Rebbes that do this. I doubt it even today. But that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and yet no one does it. And when it comes to staying up the night of Shavuos, it doesn't say anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch you should stay up the whole night to learn Torah. But if you don't stay up the whole night, it's not good for Shaduchim. What are they going to say about you? So it's interesting. Now is not the time to sleep. There's a time to sleep, a time not. Okay, Yis'a-Sheis. Rashi agrees, well, the other way around, but Rashi is learning the same translation that we saw before in the Mitzudais, L'shoin Machashava. As we said in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ovdu Esh Toy Noisov. Your plans are lost. A person can plan. Hashem will say, Hashem laughs. That's the expression in Yiddish. A person plans and Hashem laughs. You can make all the plans you want. On that day, Ovdu Esh Toy Noisov. We learn from the context of that passage, the word Esh Toy Noisov means plans, thoughts. In this context, it means as well, it means a thought. Now you have to appreciate something a little bit more. And that is, we mentioned a few moments ago, is that we just had in Pasuk Dalit another word for thought, Chishuva Lehi Shaver. So you see, the Pasuk is not afraid to use the word Chishuva. So why then did it change here and use the word, a different form of the word, Esh Doi Noisav? Well, when you look into Hillel, obviously it means something a little bit, it doesn't just mean a thought. It means more precisely a plan. A thought is a thought. You have a nice thought. Oh, you're outside in the street, what a beautiful day. You have nice thoughts. Wow, it's a nice day. What can I do today? What can I accomplish? Hashem created such a beautiful world. You have thoughts. And then in life you have plans. Plans is not just a thought. It's a much more sophisticated collection of thoughts with a calculation leading to achieve a desired result. These people on the ship have come to realize that Hashem has plans for us. You know what Hashem's plans are? We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going down deep under. We're not going to even have burial. Burial at sea. These are Hashem's plans. Maybe if we'll dive in, Hashem will change his plans. It's not just Hashem will think about us. As I said to you before, that was the question. What do you mean think? Think is not enough. We need action. So you can give this lamdasha answer by Hashem, a thought instantly translates into an action. There's a difference between a human being and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But on a deeper level, it's not just Hashem should think about us. Hashem should have a new plans for us. If we'll do teshuvah and become better people, Hashem will have a new plan. That's a very beautiful thought to have on Yom Kippur when you lain Mafter Yoina, right before Ni'ilah. What does Hashem have in store for us? What are Hashem's plans for us? A new year is about to begin. Hashem has a plan. You know, that plan might not be so pretty in our eyes. Maybe, Hashem, you can change your plans. Go on vacation another time and do things for us differently. Change your plans for us. Change what you plan for us. That's a very powerful expression. Here, they're in a matzav of sakana. It's clear to them what Hashem's plans are for them in this given situation. And they're coming now to cry out to Hashem that he should change his plans. So the word Esh Doinoisav is a very proper, precise word in this pasuk. And Rashi and the Mitzudos David pick up upon that. They connect it to the pasuk in Tehillim to tell us the word means a thought. But in the context of how it's used in Sefer Tehillim, it's a wow, it's not just a thought. It's a sophisticated thought which leads to a goal and a direction, a plan, to carry out a desired result, a plan. Okay, further, L'shon Machshava v'chein Esh Doi Noisav. Next, U'malko Ashis, the Daniel. There as well, Daniel is telling what the king Nebuchadnezzar, what his plan should be. Let me give you a plan. I have a plan for you, how you should proceed further. Same idea, it means a plan. Next, L'chu v'napil pasuk zayin, L'chu v'napil goyrelois, Ro'im hoyu sh'or svilos holchois bayam. Everyone said, everyone loves this Maimon Chazal. The sailors they saw were the only ones. Why is Hashem singling us out? All the other ships have safely reached their destinations, only us. Hayushar svinas holchois bayam bel sholaim v'shalohem nishtaberes. It's only them. Only they are suffering. Amru, they said, b'shvil echad mimenuhu. It must be there's a sinner. There must be there's a person on board that has an issue. Kein matzin b'pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and that's what it says in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. That's always our favorite medrash. That's always the top of the list of medrashim. Am I correct? Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that's even more than medrash Rabba, no? To a degree. B'shalami. B'ma'asav shel mi mimenu. He adds here a word. He adds here one word into the pasuk. B'ma'asav. Nothing happens for no reason. Someone here did something. Okay,
that's
that.
Normal.
What?
But that is normal. I mean, people, they traveled by sea in those days.
Correct.
They had terrible sea. There were thousands of accidents. Did they always, first thing that came to their mind, there must be a sinner on our boat?
Well, you're making a very good point. That's really what the previous Rashi softens the question, because everyone else has no problem. It's unusual. It was obvious hashkacha that there was something. It wasn't just a chance. Even if they were irreligious, I mean, there's storms. But look, all the other ships are fine. How come we look on the GPS, we see all the other ships, they're doing okay. We communicate with them, we're texting them, WhatsApping them, everyone is fine. Only us? Doesn't make any sense.
Oh, so there was a nest there that they saw.
That's what Chazal says. So they realized there's something over here is going on that disturbed them.
One time I had a student. He was not from. He told me he was a very wealthy boy that his family they went with a whole bunch of families to Hawaii. It was like a whole Jewish all not from. And all of a sudden, there was a danger on the plane. This was many, many years ago. And the pilot was telling everybody that they might crash. That everybody got up and started crying and started praying. And it reminds me that everything was safe. But it was very disturbing.
That's a song.
But they didn't throw somebody off.
Oh, yeah.
Look, there are stories. There are horror stories, not a joke, where a part of the plane comes off. And a passenger is sucked out. There was a story where a window broke, and you know when the plane the cabin is depressurized, suddenly is sucked out, and a person anyone close to that opening in the plane can be mamish pulled out in an instant. The pressure is impossible to resist when a plane is 30,000 feet in the air and it's pressurized. And suddenly, there's a break, and it happens because the pressure. You don't realize how much pressure it builds up in the cabin, and there's a small fissure in the body of the plane. It can be an opening, and in an instant, anything there can be sucked out, and it's scary. Okay, let's take a look over here at the Radak. Radak Pasuk Vav and Zayin.
We're talking about something different here. Was that guy sucked out because he was the sinner and then the plane flew normal?
Today, you can never say something like that. In the time of the Yonah, we had the Nevi'im. No one can talk. No one knows why bad things happen to good people. No one knows anything today. Vayikrav elav Rav HaChoyvel HaGadol. Now here, Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Vav, page 413 in the Radak. Vayikrav elav Rav HaChoyvel HaGadol Shebasfina, the captain. Ki hasaponim nikroim choyvlim. The captain, the sailors are called choyvlim. Why? He's learning like we learned in the Mitzvot of it. Yeah. The ropes of the mast. It's an art. It's a chokhma, how to control the sails to in order to know how to steer the ship using the wind and counterbalancing the wind with the sails. And the sails are controlled by ropes. The chayvel who shem kolol is the collective noun. It's singular, but there are many ropes. A ship has many, many ropes. Vuhu shem kolol lachayvelim v'chein tirgim yonisim rav sapo naya, the chief of the ship, meaning the captain. Who shem b'shekel, the same grammatical form, v'es ha yoiser hecheramnu, which means the grammatical form here of the Rav HaChoyvel, I'm not sure what he means by this. I don't know. The Gam Ken Yeh Shem Klol LaChoyvelim V'Hu HaGodol HaManik HaSafina Al-Piv, the one in charge. Al-Piv, he gives the orders. Yimshechu V'Yatiru HaSaponim Es HaChavolim. So either it means the person who actually pulls the ropes, or it means the person who gives the orders. The one who gives the orders. Either it means the physical one that does the work, or the one that gives the orders what to be done. Okay, fine. Next. Now we have a new translation for the word Yis-A-Sheis. It's a very hard and unusual word. The Radak is Cholik on Rashi. He does not say it means a machshava, a plan, eshtoinois. It means Yis-Ratze. Hashem will be appeased. Ratzon. Hashem will see out that we are suffering, and will change his heart, will have a rachmanis upon us. It will be an ace ratzain. Even though he says the word yisrat seh, we have to appreciate that he's coming to tell us that it comes from the same pasuk in Tehillim that Rashi and the Mitzvot is quoted. Avdu esh doinoisav. So obviously, there, you also have to have a different translation. I think the more common translation in Tehillim we always use is avdu esh doinoisav. Your plans are lost. You can plan, it's all lost. Radak saying that's not what it means there. Who told you that's the translation of the Pasuk in Tehillim? Over there in Tehillim as well, it means Avdu Eshtu Nois. It means that Hashem, you have failed to achieve Ratzon. Hashem is not on your side. You were in Hashem's corner, Hashem was willing to be good to you, but now you had a falling out with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he learns the word of Eshtei Noisav to mean Lashon Yisratzeh, Lashon of Rotzen, Machshavos Ritzoinai, the thoughts of his Rotzen. You know, I'm not really sure that he's really disagreeing totally. It's a little bit different, but the thoughts of his Rotzen, you want to say means his plans? I don't know. It seems to be a little slight difference. V'chein baromis umalka ashis leha'ka musei. The king should want to establish the following rules, the following plan. Retzoloima mechashei v'yonesam tirgem yisracham. I thought the Radak was really more aligned with Targum. Targum makes it very clear, yisracham, compassion. Okay, so that's what I thought he said. Rotzoin is always very similar to rachamim. In ace rotzoin and ace rachamim, Targum does not learn like Rashi or the Mitzudas, the Mitzvah Hashem Shav rachmonus upon us. The problem though is, where did the Targum get the word? Where does he have a source? Show me precedent. Show me legal precedent for the word yis ashes should mean yisracham. At least the Mitzudos, Rashi, the Radak, they're giving you a word in Tehillim. Go figure it out. At least you have something to work with here. You have something to work with. Pasuk Zayin, Vayermu luchu v'rapilu garolos, yeshul tamaya. B'zeh, a very shocking thing going on. Ve'ech choshu ki bavur anshe honiyo hazoyz ho yisar godol b'yom. V'chi lo hoyu anios acheres b'yom. V'chi kol honiyo sheyesh lochem sar b'yom mapilim ganashecho garolos. B'sholmi hara'a. Okay? Or mayim yo mayim. Okay? This is the question you just asked. The question just is, Mayim Mayim. Does everyone? So what's sauce the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar give the same exact answer. The same answer, Balem Sar Godol Bayam. Umiminam Mismailam Kol Haniyais Oivois Vishavais, the same answer that everyone gave. That all of the other ships on their right, on their left, they passed through the sea unharmed. Bishalaim, Bishtikus Hayam, Vihania, Shayar Ba Yoina, Batsara Gedoila Shechishva Lishaver, it's the only one. We have been singled out. And therefore, it's clear there is something going on in heaven. Amu b'shalami haru hazois lanu b'asher lemi haru hazois lanu neida'a. Who is the one? Lemi haru hazois lanu neida'a b'asher lemi haru hazois lanu b'avur mihu. Who is the cause of this problem? Let's see the Malbim. These two psukim. Malbim pasigvav. We'll stop. It's already out of time. It's 21 hours. I have to stop. It's late already. Okay. So we'll Mir Tashem pick this up.